In case you have not figured it out, there is a theme to this day. Any ideas? Any clues? It's Jesus. Jeff, the answer is always Jesus, brother. Answer is always Jesus. If you have your Bibles, I've got several different passages we're going to look at today. But the main one I'll look at is Luke chapter 22. Beginning in verse 31. This will become more apparent to you as I progress through this message this morning. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32 says this, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I pray for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." I want to speak to you today about something that happened in our nation that goes right along with this sermon. Tomorrow, 16 years ago. Anybody remember that day? 9/11. September 11, 2001. You remember that day? Do you remember what you were doing? Or where you were when you got the news that the Twin Towers in New York had been struck by commercial airplanes? I do. 2,996 people lost their lives in the Twin Towers terrorist attack. Some 6,000 were injured then in the war in Afghanistan and Iraq. And another 6,800 of our fighting men and women were lost. It could all be traced back to one man. He was in his 50s. He was a son of a billionaire, and he hated the Western world, and he hated Christianity. The FBI and the CIA put a label on this man. It's a military term, and it's HVT, High Value Target. Osama bin Laden became a high value target. He made the FBI and CIA most wanted list, and for 13 years, they diligently sought this man. He went into hiding. He wouldn't even allow his garbage to be collected. He stayed isolated, secluded. He refused to use a cell phone, would not get on the internet. He wanted no traces of his existence. But after some time, the U.S. government, they put out a $25 million bounty on his head. And the airline association kicked in another $2 million. $27 million for information leading to the capture or death of Osama bin Laden. Now, you may think you have friends, but for $27 million, I would bet that your friendship circle just gets a little bit smaller. You glow in the dark. For 13 years, the government tracked multiple people associated with this terrorist. And one man kept coming up. He was a carrier. He would carry messages, supplies, back and forth. And one day, bin Laden made a very critical mistake. He thought he was safe. He got lazy and he made one simple, critical mistake. I got to tell you, when you're a high-value target, it doesn't take a lengthy list of wrongs to expose you. Did you know that? When you're a high-value target, every single one little mistake could cost you everything just because you get relaxed. Now, that right there would preach, but I must move on. Through this contact and the phone call trace, see, he slipped up and he made a phone call. And because they traced that phone call, the military located the compound where bin Laden was hiding. They watched the compound. They studied it for days and days and days. They searched it with heat-seeking vision stuff. They could actually tell where he was and what was his bedroom. They could tell it was his bedroom because it was heavily guarded at night. At night, the only time in the day was it was dark, he would actually get out and do a little walking around a little bit. But he only did that at night. He wouldn't be seen in the daytime outside. Did you know that you are a high-value target? I gave you each a bullseye, a target that I made several weeks ago. And on the back, I wrote HVT. It stands for High Value Target. You have to know this before we move anywhere else in this sermon. You have to understand that you are a high-value target, and there is somebody trying to take you out. Somebody is studying you, eyeing you, watching you, waiting for you to slip up to take you out. You are a high-value target. He's watching for your weak points. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your purpose. He wants to destroy your calling. It's almost like you have a target on your back. You've seen the targets around, right? The targets all over the place back here up on the screen. And I'm not going to put this on my back because for illustrative purposes, you wouldn't be able to see it and it would be no good to you, right? So I'm going to put it right front and center where you'll be able to see what I'm talking about. It's almost like as if we're walking around like this with a target on us on display so that people, the enemy, will know exactly where to aim. Come on now. You all have got a target. You've all got a target. You've all got one around your neck if you put the thing on. You've all got a target, okay? But whether you realize that or not, there is a target on you. We're all being targeted. Back to the story. Let me wrap this story up. Let's get to the Word of God. When they were sure they had located bin Laden, they sent four helicopters in with Navy SEALs. Navy SEAL Team 6. They've become famous because of their taking out of Osama bin Laden. That was their designation. These guys are the best, the smartest, the highly trained. These guys are the elite. Okay? And they sent them in for one target. And they got it. Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." Simon Peter was a high-value target. And the devil knew it. He had been given the keys to the kingdom. He would be a key player in the spreading of the gospel. I'm preaching to high-value targets this morning because you are in the same boat. We're all in the same boat with Peter. We all have a mission. You need to be careful. Because Satan has labeled you as a high-value target. You need to know, you need to understand that the more you walk with God, the more you study and read the Word of God, as your faith in God increases, you become a more highly valued target. Now, let's be honest. All across this land on this Sunday morning, there are churches full of Christians worshiping and studying about God. All over the place. However, don't be fooled. Not everyone who calls himself a Christian is a high-value target. Some who call themselves Christians are actually doing more good for the enemy than for the cause of Christ. Satan does not value you as a person. He puts a value on you in regard to how much damage he can do by taking you out. You see, he's only interested in stealing, killing, and destroying. Not for your good. If you're already an ally, then why bother taking you out? I mean, he's evil, but he's not stupid. All right? The Bible tells us that Satan is craftier than any other creature. So you need to check yourself. You need to see if you're walking with the Lord, learning and studying about His ways and His desires for you. Are you in daily communication with Him? Are you leading your family or living in that family in a way that honors the Lord? Does your walk with the Lord have an impact on the environment in which you live, work, and play? If so, then you're a high-value target. If not, you don't need to worry about the devil. You got bigger problems. Because if you're not living for the Lord, then you've not surrendered to the Lord, you're not in surrender to the Lord, you're not a part of the kingdom of God. And that's just plain and simple. It doesn't matter what you may have said because actions speak louder than words. If you're not walking for the Lord, you're marching for the devil. And that's just, there's no middle ground. You can't be Switzerland in this fight. You're either for him or you're against him. And if you're for him, you're being targeted. If you're against him, you're an ally of the devil. And that's just it. So we need to find out. We need to ask ourselves, where are we? Where are we? Where are we? Where am I in this fight? And it's a fight, folks. I gotta tell you, it's a fight. It's a fight. But if you're a child of God, you need to know that the more you're committed to God, the bigger the bullseye gets. This couple, in this chaos of the storm, I was blindsided. Just a couple quick stories. I was blindsided. I was putting on Facebook, kind of updating everybody, keeping everybody apprised of what was going on. We got the thing started at the church, the distribution of goods and whatever. And I was bragging on my people. And I got this attack from actually a family member, okay, not my blood family. Let me just say this, not Rebecca's blood family. It's just, you know, kind of extended family. But an attack out of the blue, and I have no clue. I mean, this person has been spewing poison about to other family who they're in direct conflict with. We're not even bystanders. We're just completely removed from the situation. And I got this long, scathing, poisonous attack. I don't know if any of you saw that. I hope you did not, because I got it off of there as fast as I could. It was just poison. All right? It was junk. I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it came from. And it came from the pits of hell is exactly right where it came from. An arrow was shot at me because I had a target on my back. And the devil was trying to do some damage to the good stuff that was happening here. And it just came out of the blue. I will say this. This person was saying, you know, well, you're just doing this for your own glory and that kind of stuff. And shame on you. You didn't even call to check on us. Of course, I don't remember getting a phone call from her either. But, you know, it was all about her. And then after the fact, you know, she said, we're trying to help people. And after the fact, I found out she was sitting safely in a hotel way in West Texas because they ran from the storm. And I think what had happened was she was feeling guilty. I think she was dealing with her own inadequacies and began to lash out. But folks, you've experienced that too, haven't you? Come on now. Another quick story, real quick. Yesterday was my birthday. All right? I got a year older yesterday. Talk about a target on your back. No, that's... I was blessed with a couple gift cards to Academy. I love Academy. Yay! Praise God for Academy. I went to Academy, and I had like $150 to spend, and we went, and I got shoes. I got a brand new fishing pole, a brand new reel, a bait casting reel. I mean, it's awesome. Steel ball bearings, and it's just... Oh, it's. I'll show it to you, Zachary. It's awesome. I picked out a new accurate fish scale because I'm catching big fish, and at least I hope to catch big fish. And I picked out some other things, and I was excited. And Rebecca can tell you, I was giddy. I don't really like to spend money, but this was given to me, so I was like, rock on. And I got to the register, and I said, I got to go to the restroom. So I ran to the restroom, and I came back, gave Rebecca the cards and stuff. And I came back, she was like, Michael, something's wrong. What can be wrong? I knew that we'd gone over a little bit, you know, and I was going to kick in a little bit extra. She's like, they say there's no money on the card. I said, are you kidding me? She said, what do we do? I said, well, we walk out. It just so happens that prior to this event, in the same store, in the shoe aisle of Academy, we just had this conversation with a man about church. A very public, loud discussion, good discussion about church and how he wants to get back involved in church and whatnot. It was great. It was awesome. And I don't know where he was in the store, but I got to tell you this. Had I caused a scene, what would have been left in his mouth, knowing that the pastor of a church that was encouraging him to get in church is throwing a fit and being ugly with the manager of Academy because my cards don't work? Okay? Target. Now, I will tell you this. I was able to get out in the parking lot on the phone. 35 minutes later with corporate and Academy, the issue was resolved. Walked back in there, picked out all my stuff again, went and paid for it, and walked out with a sack full of goods from Academy. And then I went and ate a gorgeous steak, and it was awesome. But anyway, those stories to tell you this, you don't see it coming. You don't see the attack coming. I've got this target on my chest, which would imply that I can see what's coming at me, but the truth is the target's on our back. And we don't see the attacks coming, but they come. They come when we're not expecting it. Okay? We get double teamed when we do expect it. The devil loves taking out high value targets. He loves to take out pastors. Did you know that? He loves to take out pastors. He loves to destroy their children. He loves to get into families that have a long history of serving the Lord, and he begins to convince people to compromise and then to slowly degrade their faith to the point that hurt and pain is experienced across the entire family. You cannot relax. There's too much at stake. Youth and young people. You need to know that you're high value targets. Because you know how to pray. You know the truth. You know the name and the power of Jesus and the salvation that He offers. And you're wanted by hell itself. The devil is sending his best. The devil is sending Satan SEAL Team 6 after you. You got to know that. When the Bible talks about Satan asking to sift Peter, sifting, you got to understand the process of sifting. Sifting, it's in reference to talk about sifting as wheat. Wheat is sifted into different components. The chaff is sifted off, the seed, the good stuff, the dirt is blown away. It's separated. That's what the sifting process does. Sifting separates. Satan wants to separate you from your friends who have a positive impact on your lives. He wants to separate you from a mom and dad who love you and who love God. He wants to separate you from pastors, some Sunday school teachers who are spiritual voices in your life. He wants to separate you from the right people and connect you with the wrong people. He doesn't care what it costs him because you're a high-value target. The government didn't care that it cost $27 million to get Osama bin Laden, but that's not a drop in the bucket to what it actually cost the government to get him. Okay? In addition to the countless man hours and resources committed to taking out this terrorist. Whatever the cost, added up with all the fuel, the weapons, the equipment, the money, it was worth it to rid the world of this evil man. Okay? Hell has no limit to what it'll spend to take you out because you're a high-value target. Do you hear me, youth? Do you hear me saying this to you? You're a high value. You got to know that about yourself. The rest of you, you're not off the hook either. All right. If you're a leader, a teacher, a praise band member, a person who prays for others, one who ministers to those in need, one who leads your family in the ways of the Lord, if you're standing strong on issues of morality, if you have integrity, the enemy says you're a high-value target. I read about professional snake handlers. And no, we're not that kind of church, all right? I hear you out there. Professional snake handlers say that picking up the snakes is not the most dangerous part. You know when most snake handlers get bit? When they're putting it down. When they're messing with it. Picking it up is not the dangerous part. Most snake bites happen when they try to put it down. You got to be careful what you pick up. You got to be careful what you pick up. Picking up is not the most dangerous. It's easy to pick up drugs. It's easy to pick up immorality. It's easy to pick up gossip. It's easy to pick up bitterness. It's when you try to put that stuff down or when you go to playing with it that you get bit. The best way to not get bit, you know what that is? Don't pick it up. Don't pick it up. You know, from where I grew up in West Texas, if a snake rattles, it's bad. If it doesn't, it's good. That's not true in East Texas. Okay, so my policy is, and I know that there's some animal lovers, and I love animals too, okay? I love all kinds of animals, especially covered with gravy right next to potatoes. But listen, the other day there was I was taking some trash to the trash can out here, and something flashed up here. I looked up, and there was a snake about this close to my head looking at me right in the face. 4 minutes later, when my heart started beating again, I went to go take care of it. And I said, went to David Evans. He was out there in the gym. I said, get a stick and come follow me. I'm going to go get my gun. We're going to finish this dude. And went out there and he's like, oh, no, you can't kill that. That's a Texas rat snake. I said, I don't care what it is. It scared me and I don't like snake. Those of you that do like animals, you need to know that David saved the snake from the wrath of Pastor Michael Nix. All right? The devil is studying your habits. He wants to pull you out of the safety zone. The devil is studying every preacher, every preacher's kid, every mom, every dad, every student. He studies your instincts, your patterns, your associations, your friendships, the movies you watch, the conversations you have, the websites you visit. And I got to tell you all this. You know, Snapchat leaves no evidence on your phone of what you've been seeing or what you've sent. Y'all know that? I know y'all know that. Parents, do y'all know that? There's this thing called Snapchat. And you send it, and then a few seconds later, it's gone. There's no record of it. But I got to tell you something. Satan has a recording of everything you've ever sent or everything you've ever received on Snapchat. And he plays it, and he watches it, and he studies it for weaknesses. Where can I get in? Where can I attack? It's not just Snapchat. It's anything. He's studying us. He's watching us. He's spying us with heat-seeking vision, waiting for a prime opportunity to take us out. Acts chapter 19 says that Paul was a chosen vessel. The reason the enemy has labeled you as a high-value target is because you are a chosen vessel. Pastors are chosen vessels. Matthew 26, verse 31. It quotes a reference from an Old Testament psalm, and it says this, "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." How many of you have ever heard of a pastor that's had a moral failure, been irresponsible with church funds or something like that, and it just really damaged the church? Yeah. If you haven't, just watch some of the news for a little while. You'll see one before long. I know that if I have a moral failure or I behave in a manner that drives people away from the Lord, there would be a tremendous collateral damage in this church. I know that. If we ever ought to hold up leaders of this church and their spouses and families, it's now. I guarantee you. The enemy would love just to mess me up. He'd love to take out Hal. He'd love to take out Alex. He'd love to take out Zachary. He'd love to take out any of our deacons. He'd love to take out a Sunday school teacher because they're high-value targets. A lot of collateral damage. Think about your household. Would anyone be hurt if the enemy took you out? Would anybody be hurt if Satan had a victory in your life? In your household, would anybody be damaged? If so, you're a high-value target. That might sound like I'm sending some discouraging news today, all right? And I get it. But I'm not done yet. I'm getting close, but I'm not done yet. Because you need to know that greater is He that is within me than he that is in the world. Jesus Himself was not immune from temptation, all right? Talk about a high-value target, the Son of God. Hello. How did He respond to every single temptation that was brought in front of Him? With the Word of God. With the Word of God. There is hope, and it's found in the Word of God. You got to know it. You got to memorize it. You got to study it. You got to love it enough to obey it. I'll just tell you right now that if you're not part of a Bible study group, you need to be in one. All right, here we call it Sunday school, Bible study, whatever we want to call it, doesn't matter. It's good stuff. We have several classes for you to choose from. There you'll study the Bible. You'll make connections and relationships that will strengthen you against the attacks of the devil. Bible study is important. Jesus closes the conversation with a powerful statement. He says this, "But I pray for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail." Did you know that it's possible for you to fall or even fail or mess up, but that your faith can remain intact? Yeah. Look at Peter. And keep your faith strong. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, "For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again." Amen. They rise again. "But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes." So get back up. Increase your value. The Bible says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and you shall refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their And in this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord, in Isaiah 54:17. If you're a child of God, you got to know this, that Jesus is praying for you. His desire is for your faith to increase and not fail. And if you think hell treats you as a high-value target, you need to understand something. Heaven puts more value on you than the devil does. How valuable? So much that the King of Glory, Jesus Christ Himself, gave His life in your place. You are that valuable to the Lord. He placed such a high value that He said, whatever it costs. And He didn't even blink an eye at it, folks. He walked right in there. You got to know, you are valuable. The devil knows it. Jesus knows it. But I need you to know it. I need you to know that you are valuable. Yes, we're targeted. Yes, there's there are schemes against us all day long, and we know that. But it's because you're valuable. Do you know it? Do you realize it? Do you know that you are a highly valued target? Satan has asked to sift you. But Jesus is praying for you. Amen. And if that is the only defense I have, it is more than enough.
That's
right. It is more than sufficient. Because the King of Glory, God Himself, is praying for me. I'll take that to the bank all day long. What can the devil take from me? Only temporary stuff. He cannot take my eternal security in Jesus Christ. All this is going to pass away one day. One day, sooner or later. Don't know when. It'll all be gone. But I'll be standing with Jesus when it does. Will you? I hope and pray. Folks, we got to understand, you are highly valued by the enemy, but you're more highly valued by God. Okay? It doesn't make us immune. Okay? Remember, Jesus Himself was tempted. I gave an illustration. I'm closing. I gave an illustration this morning. How many of you have seen the movie 300 with whatever his name is? Octavius? No, that was a different one. But, you know, the Spartans, the Romans and all that, they had these shields, right? Now, we have a shield, right? It's called the Shield of Faith, all right? Well, when they were being attacked, have you seen it? They would take all their shields. They would get together. They would interlock their shields together. And they didn't cover them up. And they would protect themselves and each other because they were interlocked. Folks, we've got to take our shield of faith and interlock with one another. Not just to protect ourselves, but protect the next person to us. Protect the person in front of us. Protect the person behind us. We've got to interlock. We've got to come together. I've seen us come together this last 2 weeks like I've never seen before in my life. It's only just begun. All right? There's more work to do. There's not, for us, there's not a hurricane on our horizon immediately right now. Don't know what, but we don't know what's going to happen, okay? We don't know what tomorrow brings, but we've got each other. We've got our faith. We've got our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that we're being surveilled. Enemy has surveillance on us, watching and waiting for a weakness. All right, that's where we come together. We watch each other's back. We take care of one another. Folks, there's a lot of stuff in there, and I could go on for days and days and days preaching on this. But you got to know this. You are highly valued by the enemy, but more highly valued by God. He wants to take you out. But Jesus is praying for you. Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us so much, that you've given us so everything that we need. You've given us the armor of God. You've given us one another. You've given us the church. You've given us yourself. Lord, I thank you for Jesus Christ, who didn't stop at the cross giving the sacrifice for me, who didn't stop at the grave, and when he rose from the grave 3 days later to pronounce his victory over death and over sin and over hell. But Lord, he is still at work for me. Even right now, He is praying for me. And He's praying for all these other believers. Lord, thank You. Thank You for that. Lord, lift us up. Strengthen us. Give us wisdom. Give us stamina. Give us the fortitude to face the battle. To head right on in, Lord, together, arm in arm, shield locked, ready to take on the attack. Lord, it's coming whether we're ready or not. So make us ready. Call us to action. Lord, I thank You for this message. I thank You for this word. But Lord, I thank You for the people that are hearing it. I thank You that it is good for us to realize that we are highly valued. Highly valued. But there's a lot at stake. So Father, help us to be on guard at all times. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.